Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's going to be back. We were gone for a little extended time because there was a plumbing crisis that went from bad to worse, which they tend to do until you call a plumber. And I'm one of those people who resists calling the plumber until the last possible moment. And so that's what happened. But all is well now. All is well now, and it's good to have everyone with us. I thought I had some exciting news to bring you last week because I saw this headline over on CNBC.com. Trump administration plan to fire nearly all CFPB staff. CFPB. That's obviously a government agency. So no matter what, this is good news, right? If Doge plans to sell Dodgy, maybe I'll go with Dodgy. I'm going to go with Dodgy from here forward because just color me skeptical about the idea of Dodgy actually saving enough money to make any significant difference in the catastrophic debt situation that we all face and the overall immorality of government authority. Just color me skeptical. But if Dodgy plans to fire nearly all CFPB staff, I'm thinking this has to be a good thing. CFPB. And so I said, Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Finally, something truly conservative to fire the state media, the Soviet style. State media to dismantle the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. But it turns out it was not the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It wasn't PBS and the state, a Soviet state organ that was to be dismantled. No, it was the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. What the heck is that? Uh-huh. That's exactly it. That's something no one ever heard of before Musk and Dodgy decided to fire all the people involved. And it will save approximately $1.50 from the $75 trillion deficit or whatever. 1,700 employees, wind down the agency. Anyway, this is why Dodgy seems a lot for show. That's all. It just seems like, I'm not going to say all for show, because there still is the chance they could dismember and dissolve the Department of Education, although color me skeptical on that. I am hopeful for that one. So anyway, it turns out, I haven't researched this because I don't care enough about it now that it's not PBS, but if I'm not mistaken, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, if I'm not mistaken, that's an allegedly private company that people donate to get the tote bags and the mugs and whatever. And it receives massive amounts of government money as a private, allegedly private corporation. Anyway, that's not going anywhere. PBS, not going anywhere. National Public Radio, not going anywhere. Except they're going to start running more MAGA-friendly propaganda. At least for a few years, until the communists get back into power. And, all right. So just color me skeptical, but hopeful, okay? Now, it's hard to be hopeful in light of stories like what I'm about to read you from the New York Post, where they report that two millennial congresswomen have teamed up. And I want to stop right there because that's a terrifying statement just right there. Two millennial congresswomen have teamed up to immediately stop credit card interest rates from jumping above 10%. That jumping above, this is the New York Post, jumping above. So you can tell the New York Post is already against credit card interest rates over 10%. And by the way, so am I. That's why I don't pay them. I have a credit card that I've used. We've used a credit card for my entire adult life. I've used a credit card. I stopped paying interest on credit cards sometime in my early 30s when I figured out that I was being robbed. So, but I didn't ask the government to pass a law so that they couldn't rob me. I just stopped paying the interest. I kept using their card, getting the miles, but just stopped paying the interest, which, by the way, everyone is free to do. But it requires some self-control and sacrifice. So, but it's not a bad thing to learn, especially in your early 30s. Late 20s would have been better. But anyway, these two congresswomen, the reason this story is noteworthy and made it into the New York Post, is because the two congresswomen in question are Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the communist from New York, and Representative Ana Paulina Luna, the MAGA girl from Florida. Right? And so they don't like each other much. They don't? I don't know. They might get along just fine at parties, but in public, they disagree on policy. But here they agree that they want the government to pass a law regarding what people can charge each other for their services. And so this is good evidence that neither childless heathen women nor selfish mothers who choose full-time work over their own children should be in charge of anything. Neither of them ever should be in charge of anything. And especially Paulina Luna, choosing to join a brothel when she has a 3-year-old child at home. Instead, she goes to work full-time in a whorehouse in Washington, D.C. That's more shameful than the communist. I mean, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's just doing what communists do, passing laws to control other people's lives while she gets a cut. That's what communists do. Representative Ana Paulina Luna, she's pretending to be a conservative and doing the same thing. Proof that girls shouldn't be in charge of anything. These two particular girls. Let's just say that. I don't want to be accused of sexism because I'm certainly not that way. I just want to remind these two girls and everyone else, the government does not have the authority to tell the people what they can charge one another for their services. And if you give them that power, if you give the government the power to pass laws telling us what we can charge each other for our services, if you give them that power, the government will be corrupted. And a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And eventually, that government that you thought was going to protect you from predatory interest rates, that government will rob everyone blind for generations and then sell them all into bankruptcy. Oh, by the way, which is what has happened over the past century. The one good thing about Dodgy is that we will get some evidence as to the enormity of the crime that the government we corrupted has perpetrated against us. All right. Now, speaking of girls, let's go to Fox News, where they love to report on pop culture, pop star, female pop stars. For whatever reason, the executives at Fox News, while pretending to be conservative, are completely enamored with hedonistic female pop stars. It's just something I've noticed ever since Fox came on the scene. I've just noticed it. And so here's another story. In that vein, the headline screams, Katy Perry heading to space with Lauren Sanchez and Blue Origin's all-female crew. Yay! That's right. The story, Fox News reports, Katy Perry may join Lauren Sanchez, Gayle King, and others on a journey to space with an all-female crew. Okay, so this comes from the Tempting Fate file. Jeff Bezos will be joined. Actually, he hasn't announced if he's going up or not, but the Blue Origin is going up with the Katy Perry, Lauren Sanchez, Gayle King, Carrie Ann Flynn, a film producer, NASA rocket scientist Aisha Bowe, and civil rights activist Amanda Nguyen, all girls confirmed here on the Weekly Worldview as girls. Although, so Katy Perry I've heard of, but not for like 10 years. Lauren Sanchez, don't know who she is. Gail King, I've heard the name, but I couldn't tell you who she is. Carrie Ann Flynn, no, I have no idea. Aisha Bowe, no. Civil rights activist Amanda Nguyen, I have no clue. The flight may launch this spring, says Fox. No, actually, Fox says the flight will launch this spring, which seems a bit, that's like saying that the Titanic was an unsinkable ship. I just wouldn't say it will. Does anybody remember Sally Ride? Do you remember that? The Challenger 1986? I'm just saying, that's all. That's why it's from the Tempting Fate file, right? Let's see this. And by the way, does anyone remember the all-female airline there? The airline, I don't think it was an all-female crew, but there was definitely a girl involved in flipping the plane over up there in Canada recently. So I would just not get all full of hubris over the all-female crew thing shooting a rocket off into space. You might want to be just a little bit more sensitive to your own tendency toward pride. But Bezos isn't good at that. Neither are any of these others, apparently. Anyway, this according to Fox News, this is the first all-female flight crew since Valentina Tereshkova's solo space flight in 1963. Okay, so the all-female thing in space, it's already been done, number one. Number two, it was done by one woman, not a whole crew. One woman already pulled it off. Almost 70 years ago, 60 years ago. Yeah. Okay, so color me not all that impressed. And in light of the lessons of Sally Ride's flight on Challenger in 1986, and the recent flipping of the airplane in Toronto. Anyway, if I'm any of the girls who are booked to fly, I would be reconsidering. That's all. I'm just going to say to Katy Perry, if you were looking for a way to bring your career back, you might reconsider. This might not be the best idea. This is like somebody could have told Buddy Holly, don't get on that airplane. That's all I'm saying, okay?
That's why he's famous.
Well, that is true. Katy Perry, that is why Buddy Holly is, yeah. Okay, well, hey, you know what? Those people in Hollywood, they know what they're doing. They know about public relations. But if anything bad happens, what's going to happen to all the plastic that comes out of all these women up there in space? It's going to contribute to the space junk problem that we already have, putting Katy Perry up there. That's just that. And the other girl, Lauren Sanchez, is that Jeff Bezos' new plastic girlfriend?
So
I think that is. Anyway, so that would be, so that's a lot of space junk to be risky. It's just risking. That kind of stuff is probably not wise. Anyway, there is a petition circulating to replace Katy Perry with Taylor Swift. But we're not going to link.
We need more junk, yes.
But we're not going to link to that because that's just not, it's not healthy to entertain ideas like that. All right, meanwhile, from the widespread file since January, customs officials down in Texas have stopped at least 90 people from smuggling eggs into the country from Mexico. That's right. People were trying to raw egg imports from Mexico are prohibited due to health concerns regarding the highly pathogenic avian influenza or the bird flu. Egg prices are up. Everyone's freaking out, so much so that people are actually smuggling eggs. And because of Trump's new border wall policy, they're busting the people with the eggs. Some experts say consumers are contributing to the egg shortage by panic buying, like what happened with the toilet paper back in COVID-19. That could very well be true. And then finally, the USA Today story goes on to close. There is no cure for the bird flu, and antibiotics are useless against the virus.
Just don't kill them.
But multiple countries are working on vaccine. Vaccination would potentially result in fewer outbreaks and lessen the financial impact. Please give us another vaccine. Ah! Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. So I think the guys smuggling the eggs, they were smuggling the eggs 2 weeks ago, and then late last week, they made a deal to import the eggs. I saw a headline that Trump is scouring the world for egg sources. Well, obviously, there's some guys right there in Mexico who are ready to supply some eggs, and all right. Meanwhile, we go to reason number 1,676 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Wyoming has become the fifth state. Wyoming has become the fifth state to eliminate gun-free zones in the public schools. That's right. Wyoming joins New Hampshire, Alabama, Oregon, Utah in allowing people to carry concealed firearms in the public school without asking the school's permission. And all the Second Amendment conservatives say, yay, while sending their kids to a place where they want someone armed. So could you just stop and think about that for just a second, mom and dad, with your Second Amendment tattoo and We the People and your red, white, and blue shirt and your MAGA hat. You're sending your kid to a place where you hope the adults who are not insane are armed so they can shoot the insane people. All right. By the way, I'm all for people being able to carry concealed weapons anywhere they want, anytime. I'm just not happy about it. I'm not happy that it needs to be that way. I would rather none of us felt like we needed to do that. And I think we should work toward a society where nobody feels like they have to carry a deadly weapon. Okay, that's all. So, yeah, I know.
I thought Wyoming was already allowed.
Oh, Wyoming?
Yeah.
I'm sure they passed laws. Anyway, in the wake of the school shootings, even the formerly somewhat free Western states did all kinds of insane things, like saying people aren't allowed to protect themselves. It's just insanity. Yeah, there are public schools in Wyoming, yes, and you should keep your kids out of them, along with New Hampshire, Alabama, Oregon, Utah, and all the rest. Okay. Uh-huh. Yes, so this just shows you that parents are scared enough of the school shooters that they want armed adults there. They're just not scared enough yet to get their kids out of there, which to me seems irrational. And then now we have a quote. Speaking of irrational, we have a quote from the Wyoming Education Association president, Kim. Uh-huh. Her name is Kim Amen, believe it or not. Kim Amen is the president of the Wyoming Education Association, which is the Wyoming version of the National Education Association, which is America's version of the Soviet Politburo. Just, that's what they are. A bunch of communist, perverted deviants. Demented communist deviants. The National Education Association and the Wyoming Education Association. President Kim, she told the Cowboy State Daily newspaper, quote, "We feel like our educators have the right to know if somebody is carrying a weapon," said Kim. Hey, Kim. The whole point of having a weapon is that you don't tell the bad guys you have the weapon. It would be counterproductive for us to tell you and the other communist deviant perverts that we're armed. We just want all you communist deviant perverts to know that we are armed. But I wish we didn't feel like we had to be. That's all. Meanwhile, reason number 1,678. To get your children out of the government schools, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Out in Munford, Tennessee, which is a Nashville suburb, Officers responded to an emergency situation just before school started. Teacher Samuel Colin Day was found dead with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. So this means that a teacher decided not only to commit suicide, but he decided to kill himself at school right before school started. So just you don't want your kids involved where there are people like that. And there are more and more people like that. And they're everywhere. But there is a preponderance in the government schools. So if you don't want your kids to find their math teacher killing himself, get or keep your kids out of the government schools. Meanwhile, out in Connecticut, we have reason number 1,677 to keep or get your kids out of the government schools. Aisha is a 19-year-old graduate from Hartford Public Schools there in Connecticut. She graduated last June with honors, and because of all her honors, she was awarded a scholarship to the University of Connecticut. But now she's filed a lawsuit against the Harvard Board of Education and the city of Hartford, Connecticut. Did I say Harvard? Mm-hmm. That's a Freudian slip. Hartford, I'm sorry. She's filed a lawsuit against the public high school where she graduated with honors because she alleges she cannot read. And it became obvious when she tried to read some stuff that she found she couldn't. And now she's going to sue the school. She alleges, despite graduating with honors, she is illiterate. Uh-huh. She alleges that she had all kinds of problems in school. She was acting out and she was a bad kid. She had learning disabilities and just everything you can imagine in the lawsuit, right? She says that the school should have seen all these red flags and warning signs and realized that she had problems with letter and sound and number recognition. And she's dyslexic and trilexic and bilexic and translexic. They should have seen all this. And she alleges her issues were not addressed, and that's why she began acting out in school, and she became a bad girl. And Ortiz's mom, who barely speaks English, says she tried her best, including speaking with school officials, but she couldn't speak English, so that was difficult. And the school officials, barely literate themselves, could barely understand English, couldn't make heads nor tails of Ortiz's Spanish. And so the girl fell between the cracks. And then, by the way, the story is published at Breitbart, where they follow the urinalistic journalism creed. Never ask anyone what happened to the girl's father or anything about the girl's father. Don't even imply there is a father, because that's sexist and it's mean. And it hurts girls' feelings to imply that a girl should have a father. So nowhere in the story does anyone ask about the father. And nowhere in the story do the authors at Breitbart comment on how ludicrous it is that someone could sue a school for giving them a diploma that they can't read. Well, the ludicrous thing is that should be a warning to get or keep your children out of these government schools. But at Breitbart, they just kind of snicker at the lawsuit. Ha ha, look at that. She's illiterate and she's going to sue the school. And this just proves those lefty Democrats are libtards. Meanwhile, this girl's life is basically ruined, at least for the moment. It's salvageable. But the folks at Breitbart are clueless. They just think we need MAGA people and moms like Anna Paulina Luna in charge of the school board, and then that'll solve everything. We need moms and dads who care. Okay. Moms and dads who care, keep their children away from the government schools. Okay, now we go from there. Speaking of moms and dads who care, let's go to Disney, where Newsweek is reporting Disney is introducing an openly Christian character.
What?
Openly Christian.
Oh my God.
So if you hadn't noticed the paradigm shift in your civilization, it's gone from openly gay to now openly Christian. So we have officially crossed that Rubicon that Bob Enyart prophesied of back in the mid-1990s, that eventually the faggots would own the public square and the Christians would be in the closet. You are here, America. We are there. Okay. So now, Disney, they had a storyline that involved trannies and perverts and deviants and queers and creeps. Well, that's normal with Disney, because they're a bunch of molesting pervs at Disney. But now they've sprinkled in an openly Christian character. How do we know? How do we know the character is Christian? And you have to ask that question because how would anyone at Newsweek know what an openly Christian character looked like? Maybe they would. I don't know how they would even know. But the character begins her scene with the words "Heavenly Father," and there is an angel cutout in her bedroom. Wink, wink, nod, nod. You know what that means. That's a Christian. So there you have it. Let's see. The move comes amid a wider cultural shift toward conservatism? Question mark. In tandem with the beginning of President Donald Trump's second term in office. So this is the worst thing about this whole story. Well, the worst thing is probably that Disney is once again going to... This is from the Sheep's Clothing file, by the way. Disney is going to convince generally disengaged, hapless, moronic parents that Disney is something that their children should be allowed to be exposed to. That's the worst thing, probably. But then there's this idea that what's happening is conservatism, and that the beginning of Donald Trump's second term is anything related to conservatism, because it's not. I mean, there might be some things that are incidentally conservative that happen or are done under the Trump administration, but this is not a cultural shift toward conservatism, or we wouldn't be seeing the term openly Christian character in any headlines. But we do because, let's see here, a spokesperson for Disney said that, oh, listen to this. Disney says, when it comes to animated content for younger audiences, we recognize that many parents would prefer to discuss certain subjects with their children on their own terms and timeline, unquote. So that's a pervert at Disney basically saying, look, we understand that we pushed it too far with our degeneracy and it's offended some parents, so we're going to dial it back a notch, just a notch or two. And then come on in, mom, dad, bring your kids. Anyway, this is the first openly Christian character that Disney has featured since 2007, which was the last time Disney offended Christians with more of their deviant perversion with, what was the name of that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not even going to name it. But it was the last time everyone said, what's going on with Disney? Are they a bunch of perverts or what? Right? Because nobody had noticed for a long time, despite the fact that Bob Enyart was saying, hey, Disney's full of perverts. He's saying that for like 10 years. Nobody realized. But then all of a sudden they put this dirty movie out. Everybody's like, whoa, what's going on at Disney? Bob's like, hello. For crying out loud. Are any of you people paying attention? I've come to realize almost no one is paying attention. Almost no one is paying enough attention. All right, now finally, now before we get to the break here, folks, everybody's been waiting for the Epstein files. We're all on the edge of their seats because we want to see the Epstein files. We want to know who was on his plane. We want to know who went to his island. We want to know all the dirty details, right? Last week, Attorney General Pam Bondi, according to PJ Media, from Florida. Pam Bondi's from where? Florida. Okay, this is from the Widespread Conspiracy file. Last week, Attorney General Pam Bondi of Florida had the Epstein files. Where was Epstein from? Florida. He had a mansion there. Okay, she said, I'm going to release the files. And then it turns out the 200 pages that she was given were not all the documents. Surprise, surprise. The government investigated this guy for years, and all they had were 200 documents, and Pam thought she had them all. But it turns out there were thousands and thousands of documents she didn't have. But that didn't stop her. She handed out binders labeled the Epstein files, phase one. With no new information on anything, she handed this out to hand-picked influencers in front of the White House press pool, and the influencers waved them around like they had a big scoop. I remember seeing the pictures. Oh, the Epstein files are finally coming out. But then it turned out they were nothing. There was nothing in there that everyone already didn't know. That everybody already did know. What did I just say? There was nothing new in there is what I'm saying. Well, now Attorney General Bondi of Florida says she's going to have to redact some of the truckload of files that she finally got from the Southern District of New York. She's going to have to redact those on national security grounds, and that means they won't be released for a while. And then when they are released, they're going to be significantly redacted. So I'm just going to say this might be a clue as to why it was Matt Gaetz suddenly withdrew his attorney general nomination so that Pam Bondi could be installed. I'm just going to say this may be evidence that whoever wants to cover up the Epstein files, which is virtually everyone in Washington, on Martha's Vineyard, in Hollywood, in Miami, in New York, in Silicon Valley, those people, that this is why they convinced Matt Gaetz to leave, and this is why they installed Pam Bondi, is because of these Epstein files. Remember when Matt Gaetz was nominated? Everybody was like, wow, that's a gutsy move. Trump's serious. And then like 5 minutes later, he withdraws his nomination. I'm suspecting maybe Bondi and maybe Gaetz too, they just made a deal with the devil, right? Some less than noble escapades that might not fit with Bondi and Gaetz' family-friendly images. It was just agreed that those would be kept under the rug, kept under wraps, and then both of them would be allowed to keep their career trajectories on track, as long as they played ball on this Epstein deal, and it seems the deal is done. It's the Weekly Worldview. The chainsaw's buzzing. That's the dodgy thing. That's right. Elon Musk is not from Florida, but oddly enough, Pam Bondi, Matt Gaetz, and Epstein. I hate even referring to the Epstein file because it's just so lurid and yuck. All right, so instead, let's get back to Dodgy. You know, Dodgy cut off USAID, which I wanted to remind everyone once again that Bob Enyard and I spoke out against USAID in 2013, alleging that they were spreading homosexual propaganda throughout the world, which it turns out it was true. Worse than even we thought. And I'll get to that here in just a second. But listen to this. So the fact that Dodgy cuts off USAID means now Britain's top LGBTQ plus chair. Do I really have to say that? I'm not going to do that. All right. Britain's top sodomite charity is cutting half its staff and basically falling apart now because they don't have money from the American taxpayers. This is Britain's top sodomite pile charity. The leftist charity received over £500,000 through the State Department cutout known as the Global Equity Fund. That's the Global Equity Fund. They just made that up, just started pumping money into it. And if it wasn't for the fact that the politicians were skimming most of this money, they would have done even more damage. I mean, they would have spread 10 times the sodomite propaganda had they not been all on the take. So we have to be thankful for their greed, that at least it slowed the progression of the destruction of the country, but of the world, of Western civilization. This is a British charity focused on spreading sodomite propaganda, shutting down because the American taxpayers no longer funding it. All right, that's right, and that was all the State Department, Global Equity Fund, all part of USAID, all part of the same. Listen to this. All right, the headline from the America First Report, this is from AltMarket, how the government and NGOs created gay pride from thin air. That's the headline. And the author, this is from the Widespread Conspiracy File, by the way. The author writes regarding a sexual deviancy. Through the 1980s and even into the 1990s, everybody lived with a sense of live and let live. We all knew gay people were in society. For the most part, nobody bothered them, and they kept their gayness to themselves and far away from children. Frankly, says the author, it was working just fine. I'm going to come back to this. Let me just read what he's got to say. The only right straight people had that they didn't was the right to legal marriage. So most people figured that once that changed, there wouldn't be anything left to protest. What we didn't understand at the time was that the rise of gay pride in the 90s and early 2000s would become a primer for the woke madness that spread like wildfire from 2014 forward. Okay, so Mr. Author over at Alt Market, first of all, the idea that the sodomite community, the pervert community, let's just go with pervert, okay? To say that the pervert community being in society in the 80s and 90s was just fine and it was kept far from children. Do you not remember Michael Jackson? Anyway, to say that they were keeping it away from the children, you're living in a fantasy land if you think everything was fine in the 80s. Right? Just because they weren't allowed to publicly advocate for what they were doing. They were still doing it in front of God and everybody, and that's what led to the 90s, which led to the heads and the heaven, and now the tranny insanity, okay? So you may have thought everything was just fine, but there were some among us who knew it was not fine, and we were standing up and saying things, and everyone said we were hateful. So, and then he says, well, we thought that once they got marriage, everything would be fine. Well, no, we didn't think that. There were some of us who said, you can't give them that. Marriage is not an institution that man can redefine. It's God's institution. And if you give it to the faggots, it's the end of civilization, we said. And they said, oh, you're just hateful. You don't want love to be love, and you want to judge what people can love and who can love who. You're so hateful. While people like this author sat around saying, everything's going to be fine. Let's give them that right. And then they'll be satiated, they thought. He says, we didn't understand that this would... No, we did understand. We did understand. You didn't understand. Okay, and now you want to act like you understand. Color me skeptical, Mr. Author. But he goes on now to talk about the propaganda campaign that we all witnessed in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s. He says, now we know that a lot of that was funded through the U.S. government. Through NGOs, the government basically being used as a tool through NGOs managed by giant leftist think tanks like the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation, spending money through agencies like USAID. That money was funneled into the pockets of these leftist NGOs at the behest of the billionaires piled atop the giant NGO foundations like Rockefeller and Ford. The author goes on to say the government and the politicians within it are paid or blackmailed by wealthy globalists to support their leftist, deviant globalist projects. The international spread of queer activism and pride has been a goal of the elites since Kinsey. The invasion of LGBT academies, which began in 1947. The Rockefeller Foundation, in fact, according to the author here, still brags to this day about funding the rise of the sexual revolution. And they did it through the government. Okay, so I have to mea culpa here because I never was convinced that there was a cabal of godless billionaires conspiring to fund the destruction of Western civilization. I thought that that was a conspiracy theory, but now that the conspiracy's been uncovered, I realize there was a conspiracy theory. It involved godless billionaires conspiring to fund, to fund the carnal amelioration of their guilt along with, they joined forces with other guilty parties like the communists and the faggots and the guilt-ridden thieves in the bureaucracy of the government, and they all worked together in a giant conspiracy against us, the normal people, which apparently are still in the majority. I guess that's what we can hope for based on this story. I don't know. This author was just generally sleepwalking through the decline and fall of the West until the trannies wanted to actually remove his child from his press. That's what finally got his attention. Anyway, I hope there's a majority of us that are not just lost, but I know the majority are lost, as a matter of fact. So that's why we continue to soldier on. Okay, now another story. Speaking of the lost, David Johansen, the former frontman for punk rock outfit New York Dolls, died at 75 years old. He had been suffering from stage 4 cancer. And then he was additionally afflicted by a brain tumor. And then the singer fell and broke his back this past November, rendering him basically bedridden, at which point he suffered and languished for months until he died. So this is... I wanted to do this story because no man's passing should go unremarked upon. But I want to talk a little bit about what this fellow represents. And not just what he represents. The reason he represents it is because it's who he is. And it's a personality cult and a personification that this man held on to until his death. He never stopped being the front man for the New York Dolls. Which, by the way... for the guy who thought everything was going fine in the 80s, okay. The devil pushed really hard in the early 70s because that's when the New York Dolls came out. Their first album came out, 1973. It featured the members in drag on the cover of the record, right? And this was going on at the time when David Bowie came out with his... He looked like a fairy, and it was just a... The pushing of the envelope by the devil in 1973 was really strong. He was pushing hard with the sodomy and perversion to put it in public so that everybody... But at that time, Elvis's gospel record still outsold everything the New York Dolls and David Bowie ever did ever in their whole career. Just in 1973, Elvis's gospel records outsold their entire careers. Bridge Over Troubled Waters was still the best-selling album of all times when the first New York Dolls member overdosed in 1972. That's just a picture of where we were culturally. But somehow, in 2025, news of Johansson's death is absent any mention of what happened to his soul. Nobody's allowed to talk about that. Here's a guy who wouldn't give up this gender-bending, deviant, pervert shtick that has led to all this transgender insanity. It started with people being allowed to put out records where they dressed up in drag in public. That should have never been allowed. That's where it all starts. But no one's allowed to mention God or Jesus or heaven and hell. Except here on the Weekly Worldview, where we are stunned. I read a release from family members and friends. Nobody mentions anything about God or heaven or hell or anything. Just about how great he was, how loved he was. And then they go through all of his records, and he was in this movie. And nobody talks about God, heaven, hell. And here... at the Weekly Worldview, we are stunned and saddened that such a long, slow decline into sickness and death had no apparent impact on him or his acolytes. We wish it had. We hope we can. And if I don't wait, he'll never give me a break to cut back in. That's the opposite of New York Dolls punk right there. Not even in the same league. Mr. Stevie Ray Vaughan. All right, now, we go from the unfortunate, tragic, sad death and apparent eternal condemnation of David Johansson. We go from there to the Oval Office in the politics file, where we hear from, I don't know where I got this story. This is very sad. I got the wrong link here. Anyway, a shocking investigation. Oh, it's from the Heritage Foundation. Thank you very much. A shocking investigation by the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project has revealed that virtually every document bearing Joe Biden's signature during his presidency was signed by an auto pen, except for one, his letter announcing his withdrawal from the 2024 race. Okay, so color, I find this very hard to believe. First of all, most presidents, everything they sign is by auto pen, almost everything, because nobody can physically sign all the stuff the president has to sign. But the thing they're saying here is it looks like Biden signed stuff that he wasn't aware of. What are the odds of that? Okay, that I believe. The fact that almost everything was signed by AutoPen, that doesn't actually surprise me at all. And I don't even think, if it weren't for the fact that the guy was obviously brain dead, it wouldn't be a cause of concern. The real question, according to the Heritage Foundation, who was running the country while Biden was not all there? How can you even ask that question? Everybody knows who was running the country. It was Barack Obama and the faggots running USAID and the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, all of those. It's the conspiracy that I missed. The one I wasn't sure was real. It turns out it was real. A bunch of shady billionaires were running the country through Barack Obama. And who knows who was installed to actually hit enter on the auto pen. I'm not even sure that even matters. Well, the Missouri Attorney General, he isn't going to let this slide. He's demanding that the Department of Justice investigate people who have examined the Missouri Attorney General's criminal referral regarding the auto pen controversy. They say every executive order, every pardon, and every official act taken under Biden's name could be constitutionally void. And all of MAGA's like, yay! But they don't realize that almost everything is signed by AutoPen, and there's no way any of that will stand up. So everything that was signed by the AutoPen run by Barack Obama and whatever girl he installed in the White House to do it, it's all valid. Because the AutoPen is valid. It's been valid for decades. Anyway, but the one truth in this article here, the implications are staggering. We essentially had a presidency by proxy with unelected staffers wielding presidential power. Okay, the implications, schmimplications. That was obvious since the campaign of 2020. Anyone who was willing to just speak the truth would say that Joe Biden is definitely not all there. This guy is incompetent and incapable. Somebody's running him. We all said during the campaign. But then we were called Fox News and the talk radio world said that we were extremists to say that Joe Biden was incapable of. Yeah, you just weren't allowed to say that. What's that now? Everybody said that. You can't say that about the man. That's just mean. Joe Biden's, he served his country for 40 years. Turns out he robbed the country blind for 40 years. And anyone who stood up and said anything about it, they were, all right. Meanwhile, from the death penalty file, a South Carolina man convicted of killing his ex-girlfriend's parents with a baseball bat in 2001. Was executed by firing squad last Friday. Good. That is good news. This fellow admitted to killing the couple because his ex-girlfriend refused to get back to him. I'm not sure what that means. Did she refuse to return his call? She wouldn't go back out with him? I don't know. But just a maniac who killed two innocent people over a relationship. So just a maniac. But he's allowed to make a closing statement. And here's what the maniac killer's closing, who beat two people to death with a baseball bat. His closing statement: I want my closing statement to be a calling to my fellow Christians to help us end the death penalty. He says, we no longer live under the Old Testament law, but now live under the New Testament. Matthew 5:38 through 39 says, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, do not resist an evil person. Whoever shall smite me on the right cheek, turn to him the other one as well. Says the maniacal killer who beat two people to death with a baseball bat. He then goes on to say, Romans 6:14 says, you are no longer under the law, but under grace. The killer then says, nowhere does God in the New Testament give a man the authority to kill another man. That's why the Bible is divided into the Old Testament and the New Testament. Remember the words of Jesus. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keep the law. We are now under God's grace and mercy. Unquote. That's the killer who murdered two people with a baseball bat. And so just real quick, just want to correct a couple of errors in the statement. He said in the New Testament, nowhere did God give man the authority to kill another man. Actually, you're wrong. In Acts 25:11, he does. And then in Romans 13:4, he reiterates that the death penalty is not only just, but that it's from God. That's right. Paul not only endorsed the death penalty, he said it is godly. In the New Testament, I'm not going to say the guy's name. He says, this is why the Bible is divided into the Old Testament and New Testament. Why? To justify me as a murderer is basically what he just said. And then he says, we are now under God's grace and mercy. Well, I would say to you, you could have been, and I'm actually not sure, okay? This guy, and I have to look him up when I get to heaven, see if he made it, because this guy will be a test of how low is the bar to salvation. Is it possible that over the past 20 years, that this murderer at some point was actually sorry for his sins, confessed his sins to Jesus and asked for forgiveness, and believed that Jesus died for his sins and would forgive him? It's possible that at some point he did. And then later, because of lawyers and culture and his own selfishness, this murderer started reading the Bible and then trying to justify himself throughout the Bible. And then you start wondering, well, then if he did that, did he really believe? And so, I'm not sure. Anyway, so God's a graceful God, and God does endorse, God insists upon the death penalty during the age of grace for criminals and people who murder people with baseball bats. They're to be put to death. Now, they can be saved by God and forgiven eternally, but here on earth, they need to be dispatched quickly and painfully so that we can restrain the wickedness of other potential murderers. That's Old Testament, New Testament, the whole Testament, okay? For the earthly magistrates. So, but anyway, when we get to heaven, we'll look the guy up. I'm not going to say his name here, but I'll keep his name in mind. Okay. Now, speaking of maniacs who could possibly be redeemed by God, even though it's an outside chance, we go to Sacramento, California, and check in with Governor Gavin Newsom, who tapped his emergency powers so the state could speed up wildfire prevention efforts, including clearing flammable brush out of the forests. Yes, that's right. What did he do? He suspended the enforcement of his own environmental regulations. So that, regulations that he has implemented over the past, how long has he been in charge of California? 20 years? Man, this guy's painful. So he suspended enforcement of his own maniacal environmental regulations so that officials in California could actually do things to prevent forest fires. Newsom released an announcement, quote, "This year has seen some of the most destructive wildfires in California history." Stop right there, Mr. Newsom. It's not this year that has seen the most destructive wildfires. It's the people you govern who've seen them. They've not only seen them, Gavin, they've been burned to death by them. Huh? "This year has seen." This guy is so slimy evil. Man. And so, let's see. The New York Post goes on. So we have a big wildfire that kills a bunch of people, destroys an entire city in Los Angeles, and then Gavin Newsom decides to clean up some brush. The New York Post reminds us that in 2019, Newsom took a similar steps back in 2019 after the campfire burned Paradise, California to the ground and killed 85 people. So history repeats itself. There's a giant fire, a bunch of dead people. Gavin Newsom is worried about his political career. He starts behaving as if he's rational. And for some reason, people believe him. So maybe we'll find out. Was it USAID and all the money being pumped through the NGOs that propped up insanity like this guy getting elected? If Gavin Newsom is not, if Gavin Newsom's political career ends, we'll know that it was all part of that same conspiracy by that communist cabal of greedy billionaire. All right. So it's because it's the same with the trannies for Newsom, right? So he finally comes out. He makes a statement. He says, "Boys competing against girls is unfair," he says. But he never admits that the fact that boys are competing against girls in his state is his fault. And he never says it's wrong. He just says it's unfair. Mm-hmm. So it's all for show with this guy. And so, I don't know. I don't know if Soros and the rest will still be able to prop him up. Is he going to be able to make it on his hairdo and his teeth alone? I kind of hope that Americans aren't as vacuous, and Californians aren't as vacuous and stupid and gullible as they seem to be in electing this guy. I'm hoping that there's a black hand behind the scenes pumping money out that, and that it turns out we're all not as stupid as it seemed like we were, and that Western civilization might be salvageable. That's what I'm hoping. All right. Now, from the World War III file, we have a report. The European Union has been issuing anti-Russian propaganda ever since the 2021 escalation of the war that's been going on between Ukraine and Russia since 2014, when Barack Obama and USAID and the Black Hand overthrew the pro-Putin government in Ukraine. The United States did it. Nuland overthrew the government in Ukraine. And since then, there's been a war. In 2021, it escalated. And since then, the Europeans have been, "Oh, the Russians, it's Adolf Hitler. He wants to conquer Europe again," and, right? The whole time. And they say, "We'll stand with Ukraine till the very end." Right? Doing their best Winston Churchill impressions. Well, it turns out the European Union has spent more money on Russian oil and gas in 2024 than they did on military aid to Ukraine. Ooh, that's embarrassing. So you keep buying oil and gas from Hitler even while he's trying to conquer Europe? This is a study from the Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air. Russia made $254 billion on energy exports to all the people who say that Russia is the tantamount to Nazi Germany. And all that money that came from all those European allies of Ukraine, it's being used to finance the war in Ukraine that Barack Obama and all the perverts at the EU, they all started that war back around 2014. They were all in on it. They started the war, and I'm still not sure why, and I'm not sure why they refused to stop, but it seems like they will not stop. Which, I mean, it just strikes a rational person as irrational that these people who've whined about peace my entire adult life and put peace signs on everything and worship peace How come they don't want peace in Ukraine? Anyway, it's I heard a valid argument that the EU, because of their financial stupidity and irresponsibility, they want Russia for the oil and the money. And Russia doesn't want to give it to them. And I think that's valid concern on the part of the Russians. I mean, you got your neighbors are a bunch of deviant perverts who spent themselves into bankruptcy over the last 50 years. Do you think they might not want to loot Russia? Maybe they do. So, all right. Meanwhile, here in America, if you thought things were bad in Europe, well, they're worse there than they are here, and definitely worse in Ukraine. But here, the FBI has arrested members of the U.S. Army for, quote, betraying the country. So, well, I guess that's just the headline. I'm sure that's not the actual charge. Anyway, listen to this. One former and two active duty Army soldiers were arrested in an alleged scheme to send national defense information to China. I'm sorry, alleged schemes, plural, to send national defense information to China. So I would think that if you're actually wearing the uniform of a, of an Army soldier and you're actively engaged in espionage for China, that's not betraying the country. Well, I mean, it is betraying the country. But isn't that treason? I remember I swore an oath when I put on the uniform and they handed me a rifle and all of that. Is that not in effect anymore? So now, if you're a civilian and it's not a time of war, it's probably not a death penalty offense, although it might be. But if you're wearing the uniform, shouldn't you be charged with treason? And then if you're convicted, you should be put to death because you were wearing the uniform. You took the oath. Maybe I'm confused. So listen to this. It turns out the three arrested were Zhan Zhao, Li Tian, and Ruiyo Duang. Those are the three Americans arrested for trying to pass secrets to China. Okay. Well, we probably won't be able to follow this story because it'll just disappear into the... But it's disturbing that the... How come the media... How come the media doesn't go for the headline? Treason in the ranks. It's as if the media has been trained to conspire with the guilt-ridden liberals in the NGOs and in the bureaucracy and all the perverts and deviants. It's as if they've been trained to minimize the sinfulness of all the sin. It just seems to me, betraying the country. Okay, it's treason. Meanwhile, do I have anything else that I want to do? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do any more of these stories because who can take this anymore? It's hard to take all this. So I'm just going to leave the stories about... All right. I'm just going to leave all this aside because it's too distasteful and I don't want to participate. There are certain stories I do not want to participate in the dissemination of any of it. And so I see it during the week and it's titillating or for whatever reason it gets my attention. And by the time I come to do the show, I'm like, this is too disgusting. I don't want to say this in public. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm ashamed that I mentioned Epstein's name. I feel like I need mouthwash. All right. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen, from the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio. And, of course, you and should the Lord Terry will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.